house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everyone for braving the rain to come out and worship our great God. God is good, isn't he? Do you love God? I really love. Sing it if you love him. Who will I really love the Lord? Oh, yes, and you don't. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. Oh, yes, and you don't. Yeah. Oh, yes, he gave the victory. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he your sound. And that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love. Yes. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. God is good. And we thank him for blessing us to be here today. If you're visiting with us, you are our honored guests, and thank you for being a part of our fellowship this morning here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, 8 o'clock service. We know that you had to purposely get up to want to be here this morning. You had to do some planning this morning. A little rain. Those of us watching us by way of television, by way of live stream, thank you for tuning in this morning. We know you wish you could be here, but thank God that we can use technology to bring us to you a little bit this morning. Those watching by way of television, thank you. If you have a question, have a prayer request, who you just want to talk to someone, call the number on your screen, and we'd be more than happy to speak with you even this morning, to minister to you this morning. I got a chance to watch the live stream a few weeks ago when Brother Wilkerson gave the lesson. I was away. And I worshiped, but I was able to see the early morning lives. First time I was able to see the live stream on the computer. Now, we don't want people to stay at home and watch the live stream. Amen. So don't you think about, say, you're going to stay home next week to watch live stream. Don't you do that. But it is, it's beautiful. I was in a hotel room, and I was getting dressed and moving around. I stopped. I said, this is, you know, but we don't get, but you, it's not the same, though. It's not the same. And I know that those of us that's watching this morning wish you could be here. It is not the same because you see, on the live stream, they don't show the audience. Mostly it's just the kind of the pulpit and it's just the preaching most of the time. And so you don't get the full effect of worship service, but you do get the word. And so it is effective. And we even know that there are some small congregations, even in other countries, who actually use our lessons as they don't have a preacher. And a few people meet, and they use our lessons as the preacher for their worship service. And some have thanked us so much for being able to do that. And they're looking for a preacher, but they don't have a preacher. And so we thank God that we can be of some kind of help. Bro Ray did a wonderful job with his lesson, and I appreciated that. It's good. I can check up on the preachers every now and then too. Amen. Amen. God is good. I entitled the lesson today, Christians and Politics. Christians and Politics. What you on and oohing for? We know that we have an election coming up this coming Tuesday, and there seems to be a lot of, I don't know, anxiety. We know that it seems to be a critical time in our country, but and many have already voted. You know, many have early voted. If you've early voted, raise your hand. Wow! Whoa! I love you. I know we got an educated church. We got some folk who care about what's going on in this world, but we need to keep this in perspective. You know, we need to keep this in perspective, and we don't need to be walking around anxious about anything as children of God. This is not the first election. It's not the first controversial election. And so I think there's a word from the Lord, and I put it on my heart. And I want to dive right in this morning just for time. I see that clock right there. Somebody didn't turn it back. But you're not finna bother me, clock, this morning. Amen. I'm going to stop at my appropriate time. I know they're going to take care of that. I know they will. As Christians, what should our attitudes and our involvement with politics be? It's been said that religion and politics don't mix. But is that really true? Those that are students of the Word of God, I hope you realize, you do realize that politics have always been God. Politics are a tool that God uses. And I started to entitle this lesson, God is in Control. Amen. You know, Scripture says in Matthew 6, for us as Christians, to put it in perspective, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And sometimes we become advocates, and we become socialites, and we become experts in politics. But we need to be first seeking the kingdom. And some folks get more excited about society and things that's going on in society than they do about the Lord's work. And we need to definitely keep it in perspective. Government or politics do not subvert the will of God. God's will. Will be accomplished. And if you just study the Word of God, politics is merely a method that God uses to carry out, one of the methods that God uses to accomplish his will, and has been doing it for a long time. He uses government. He uses government to bless and to chastise his people. Amen. I want to give you an example. Go to the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah chapter 45, and this is referring to King Cyrus. Cyrus was the king of Persia. Great, great king. And listen to now, this is Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet, and he's actually prophesying 150 years before Cyrus was even born. But he's talking just like it's already happening. And that's how sure God's word is. If God says it, it's going to happen. If it hadn't already happened. And then Isaiah, he's talking. He says, listen, thus said the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed. Notice, Cyrus was God's anointed to carry out God's purpose. He says, Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand. When God takes you by the right hand, you're going to do what God said. He says, I've taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him, and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. He says, Cyrus, I got you. You're gonna subdue nations on my behalf. He says, I will shatter the doors of the bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places so that you may know that it is I the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Verse 4, for the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by your name. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. Cyrus is not even a Jew. He's not even under the lineage of God's purpose. But he said, Cyrus, I'm going to take you by the right hand, and I'm going to carry out my purpose through your name, Cyrus, even though you don't even know who I am. God can use anybody that he wants to use. Listen to the rest of this. Listen to what he says. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know. This is why, Cyrus, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and great darkness, causing well-being and great creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these. God is in control of this world, and he has never relinquished control. I don't care who's in office, who think they're running something. They don't run anything without God. Amen. Say so, amen, somebody. If God can use heathens to carry out his will. Yeah, and Cyrus, he's prophesying to Isaiah. He says, the children of Israel, you know, Lord have mercy. They obey God and they disobey God. And there are consequences for the way we live. Yeah, there are consequences for the way we live. God can bless us, but God can spank us real good whenever he get ready. And God can use anybody he wants to do both charges. Listen to another passage in Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse number 8. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse number 8. Yeah. Listen to this. Now, God used Cyrus. He used Cyrus to bless God's people. He used King Cyrus to help rebuild the temple of God. After God's people had been, he used, listen to this though. In Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 8, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words. Now, this is Old Testament, but there are consequences when we don't obey God's word. Don't you think God don't know what we're doing? There are consequences for us individually, and there are consequences when nations get beside themselves and nations become polluted. There are consequences. And he says, because you have not obeyed my words, he says, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares the Lord. I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. When we're talking about politics and government, God appoints kings and he dethrones kings. He says, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations round about. I will utterly destroy them and make them a horror and a hissing and an everlasting desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of my joy and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole land will be desolation and horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. You know what? We're blessed in the United States. I hope you really, really, really know that. And we have some members who are traveled, who go to other countries, and many of them, they travel, but you know what? Most of them that I talk to, you know, they say, it was nice. I went over that, had this, that, beautiful scenery, but I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be back out. Nobody eats like we do in the United States. Amen. We probably eat too much. There are so many things that we take for granted that we have, that we are blessed with, that many countries and many nations envy to the bone. But you know what? God can chastise us as a nation when he gets ready. And I hope, listen, I'm telling you now I don't believe, you know, some people are so, you know, so negative and so, you know, we say, well, okay, what the world coming to? I know we do have some trouble in the world. And I think, it's more so now because of all of the television coverage and the internet. You know, we get news right when something bad happens, we see it immediately. And it makes it seem like everything bad is, but you know, there's some good going on in here. There's some good going. There's some good. Listen, the nation might be blessed because of some faithful Christians sitting in here right now. And we need to continue being faithful. We need to continue serving God because, you know, God can spare many because of the faith of a few. And Lord have mercy. I don't know about you, but I want some peace in the land. Peace in the land. And you see, God got mad. And Nebuchadnezzar and the children of Israel, Jacob, you know, he punished them. The scriptures say he punished them for 70 years. And he used a heathen king to do that. And you wonder, you said, boy, we haven't ever had a president like we got right now. Yes, we have. Yeah, you need to read your history books. Yeah, there have been some, I'm not denouncing everything President Trump, I call him president because he is the president. I'm not denouncing everything that President Donald Trump has done, because I don't know no president throughout the years that have done everything right. Amen, somebody. And sometimes we get in conversation and we talk about, well, what are we going to do? First of all, thank God that we have a right to vote, and you've already voted. Many of you have already voted, and you're going to continue to vote. But remember, God is really in control. He's still in control. Listen to this. Now, notice this. Nebuchadnezzar, God used him to punish God's people. But you know what? Nebuchadnezzar got big-headed. And he got beside himself. And you know what? God brought him to his knees. And you know what? And after God brought him to his knees, had him out in the wilderness like a wild animal. As high as he was, he came all the way down. And you know what? It don't take God long to do what he does. Amen, somebody. And listen to what this same Nebuchadnezzar said now. This is what he said after God humbled him. This is Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. This is what you heard in your hearing. Listen to it, our scripture reading. But at the end of that period, after God humbled him to the bone, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me. He said, I was crazy for a while. I got beside myself. See, because God punished him because God gave him some, notice this, God gave him some power, and he started thinking it was his own power. He didn't give credit to God who gave him the power. Yeah. And God humbled him. And he says, my reason returned, and I blessed the Most High. And praise and honored him who lives forever. He's talking some Christian talk now. He's talking some church talk. He's talking, you know, I tell you what, you got some bad folk in this world. But when God get through them, they'll be saying, oh, my God, praise the Lord. They'll be praying long prayers when God get through with them. He says, for his dominion. See, his dominion is an everlasting dominion. You know, these elections, they occur every 2 years, every 4 years. And these guys be trying, they trying to stay in there. They trying to get back in there. They want your vote. But God's dominion is forever. There are no election because he is the election. Amen, somebody. He does not depend on us to vote him in. God stays in charge. Listen to Nebuchadnezzar. And his kingdom, notice this, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among. Notice it. God's taking care of everything in heaven and on this earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? God, what you doing? Nobody can challenge anything that God does. God is in control. And if you read the Old Testament throughout with all of the kings that lived, and there were a lot of bad kings. There were a lot of ruthless, evil, conniving, murderous kings. But you know what? God was still in control. And some of us may not think God is in control, but just when you think that, God will make himself known. And he continues to even do that today. God sets up and tears down rulers. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. Daniel 2:21. Listen to what the Bible says. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, to wise men, and knowledge to men of understanding. And even though evil men may abuse their power, meaning it for evil, God can turn it into good. God can turn it into good. And by the way, I the point we're trying to make is government can't save us. Government can't save us. Only God can save us. You know, only God. Jesus nor the apostles spent energy nor time schooling the disciples on how to rid corrupt, immoral behavior, idolatrous practices through the government. They didn't train disciples to be political advocates through the government to change the world. Amen, somebody. And so what are you saying, Brother Gary? We may have Christians that's involved in government. I think we need more Christians who are in governmental positions to help make some decisions, help make righteous decisions. But that's not the mission of the church, to become political activists to the point that we have lost our eye on God's mission. God's mission is for us to preach, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and give evidence by our lives that the gospel still is able to change people and transform people's lives. And as we change people's lives, then it will change the outcome of society, our communities, our homes. And there is even a lot of evidence in scriptures that there were people in politics who changed their life, and it had an effect on society. And the gospel did it then, and is still doing it today. We have evidence. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. One is Nicodemus. Listen to what the Bible says about Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Notice this, a ruler of the Jews. This was a man that was highly involved in government, in politics. But this man still knew he was lost. He was a seeker, if you will. And I say that because, we don't endorse political candidates from the pulpit and try to say you vote for this person or you vote for that person, but we need to be trying to convert all of them, amen, somebody. Amen. And we need to be trying to lead them to the Lord. And listen to what the Bible says about Nicodemus in John chapter 7, verse number 50. John 7, verse number 50. Nicodemus came seeking. And listen to John 7, verse 50. Nicodemus, he who came to him before, being one of them, said, in other words, Nicodemus converted to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. I remember Mayor Sylvester Turner, he came here and spoke at one of the funerals. He's been here three or four times. He grew up in the same neighborhood that my wife grew up in Garden City Park, and we contacted his administrator and asked, could we bring our students this past summer, a summer before last, to his office? And you know, this is a who you know world. You do know that, don't you? Why are you saying it, Brother Gary? Because see, all of us don't have the same influence. But when you get a person who has some influence and they use that influence in the right way, in the way to open doors that maybe somebody else cannot open a door to. And so he went through, we sent an email first, and And no response. And we saw his administrator, who also grew up in the same neighborhood that my wife grew up in. We saw her at a funeral or somewhere, and my wife asked her, "Well, did you get our email?" She said, "What email?" She said, "Well, no, we didn't." She said, "Well, yeah, we want to bring our kids to see the mayor." And she said, "Well, I didn't." She said, "Well, I tell you what, let me make a call." And in a matter of minutes, she said, "Well, look, we got it set up. You coming to see them?" I said, "My goodness!" And we took our students to the mayor's office, and he invited us in, had to go through security, and took us on a grand tour of City Hall, and actually went into his quarters where he does press conference, and he asked the kids questions, and we took pictures with the mayor, and we were telling them about what we were doing in the summer, and he said, now you okay, man? And you know, we took pictures and did everything, and he said, "Now, where are all these kids from?" And we said, "Well, they're from different parts of the city, but we are from the Fifth Ward Church of Christ." He said, "Oh, yeah, I know where we are, always doing stuff in the community." And so we had another conversation, invited on the side, and still tried to, we are the light of the world. We're the light. And I know he couldn't just acquiesce to everything that we desired. But sometimes we shy away from political figures because we think they are untouchable. But they are people just like everybody else is. And guess what? They need the Lord just like everybody else does. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could convert Mayor Turner to Christianity according to the scriptures? Amen. Somebody. According to the scriptures, because I believe that he's a believer, but I'm talking about a believer according to the scriptures. And I say that because there are individuals in here right now, in our congregation right now, who are either using their influence in circles where you can influence. I'm not in that. God has no respect to person. We want to convert the janitor, but we also want to convert the mayor. And Nicodemus became a believer, and he was a ruler of the Jews. Listen to this one. Listen to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, but he was seeking God. And he worked in government, and according to Luke chapter 19, verse number 9, listen to what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because you too are a son of Abraham." And I say that, you say, well, Christians, how should Christians respond to politics? We should use our influence as lights in this world to try to convert whosoever will. And see, you say what you will or may. There are some individuals who are in a position to get a lot more done for the cause of Christ if they use their influence to. Amen, somebody. Joseph of Arimathea in Mark chapter 15, verse 43. Mark 15, 43. Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council, of the Sanhedrin council, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. See, I know you thought everybody on the Sanhedrin, you thought everybody wanted to crucify Jesus Christ. Not everybody. Not everyone. I believe there are some good people sitting down there in City Hall. Amen, somebody. I believe there's some good folks in Washington, D.C. Lord, we need to hurry and put our hand on them. Yeah. I believe that there are some individuals who are running for Senate and running for the House and running for Congress. I believe there are some individuals who can be put in a position that they will make the right decisions for our neighborhoods, for our communities. I do believe that. And we have examples of individuals. He said he was waiting for the kingdom. And then listen to what Esther said. He gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. This is Joseph of Arimathea. Now you wouldn't look crazy going in there. You were a peasant. You out working in there. You go to the, you wouldn't have even gotten to the king. Joseph used his influence to go in and speak to Pilate and ask for the body of Jesus. Only a person in that position would be able to do that. And so there is great potential. There's great potential when people of influence use that influence in the right way. And Joseph of Arimathea uses money and he uses influence to influence Christianity in the right way. If Christians are to affect positive change in politics, it will be through following the law, not breaking the law. Amen, amen somebody. Now this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. And I know we don't have any militants in here, I don't think. And we don't have any rebellionists in here, I don't think. But we need to recognize who we are as children of God. We have a right to vote. That right has, people died for us to have a right. But one of the things that distinguish the difference between the way Martin Luther King tried to lead and Malcolm X tried to lead is Martin tried to do it through the governmental process and through peaceful demonstrations. Amen. And it seems like Malcolm had a little bit more violence and force in the way that he tried to lead. And we as Christians, we need to follow the model of the Bible when it comes to the there are laws right now. You know, we don't know if Obamacare will be around in a few years. Perhaps if the Republicans win the elections, it may be done away with. It seems like they're trying to do away with it. But I heard a lot of Republicans are on Obamacare. And I'm not saying you be a Democrat or be a Republican. What we're saying is how we ought to respond to the laws of the land that we will never lose our influence for Christ Jesus. Amen. Listen to the book of Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. Romans 13, verse 1. Every person, everybody say every person. Now, who did that miss? I just want, anybody did that miss in here? Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Yeah. Every person. When the police stop you, stop. Amen. Amen. But Gary, it's some crooked police. I'm not saying there's not. But you don't know it. When he stop you, you don't know if he's crooked or he's a good policeman. Amen. And you don't need to be challenging whether or not he crooked or not. Amen. Amen, amen young folks. Amen. Amen, young ladies. Amen, young men. Yeah, yeah. It's not the time. Now, we're talking to the Christian. We're talking to the Father. It says, every person, there is no authority except from God. I tell you, God is in control. God is in control. Yeah, we vote, but God is in control. And those which exist are established by God. But Gary, all those policemen, all those government officials, they're not Christians, but they're established by God according to the scriptures. Are you saying, Brother Gary, that President Trump is the president of the United States and God endorsed him? Is that what you're saying? I'm saying God allowed it to happen. If God didn't want President Trump to be president, he would not be president. And if some of y'all would have voted last... Listen. There have been many oppressive leaders... who've led nations and countries. And I wish I had time to go through. And Christians have, yes, Christians and people in general, many have suffered, but many have thrived through oppressive leadership. Sometimes, listen, some things happen for me. You know, I don't agree with everything President Trump, I tell you what, you know what they say? They say that the early voting, I was looking the other day, over 30 million people have already voted before Tuesday. It is more than doubled, almost doubled what it was the last election. Early voting. We have young people who are becoming educated on the process, educated on who's running, and they are reading, trying to figure out who's for this and who's against this. And so in a way, it is pushed us to be more involved in the process and to be more educated. And President Trump might say something, and you might say you don't agree with it, but I tell you what, it's going to stir your antennas up. And that's exactly what has happened. It says, therefore, whoever resists, notice this now, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. Now, we're talking to the Christian. Yeah, stop fussing and fighting with officials. You know, when you go to the courthouse, respect the judge. Amen, somebody. All of them crooked. Well, be quiet. Yeah, you do that outside when nobody can see you. Amen, somebody. Yeah, you don't resist. See, and you know, we're talking about government officials and ordinances. All it does is get you in more trouble. And the more importantly, you lose your influence to win a soul to Christ. Jesus was the ultimate example. And I know there are some ordinances, there are some laws. If the tax rate, what's the tax rate? I don't, depending on what tax bracket you're in, if the government decides to raise the taxes to 30% for the middle class, it's already there? My goodness. We moan. And my goodness, what are we going to do? I tell you what you're going to do. I tell you what the Christian should do is make sure you got a good either tax accounting or make sure you know the laws and how to take advantage of the laws. But if it come down to it, you don't need to stop paying your taxes. Well, hold up, brother. You done gone too far. Let me keep reading this for you. let me keep reading this just for you. For rulers are not a cause for fear, for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Listen to what he says. Verse 4. For it is a minister of God to do good for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices it. Now, you know, let me just say this. It's because, you know, we've seen so many examples of those in law enforcement abusing their power. We see examples because we're seeing on the news, we're seeing on the internet, they're taking clips from all over the country. But for every evil deed a law enforcement officer may do, there are thousands, literally thousands, who are doing good deeds in neighborhoods, who taking care of business, who doing it the right way. And you know, we just harp on the negative all the time. I'm not making an excuse. I'm not trying to say, Brother Gary, because I know there are individuals. But I tell you what, if you as a Christian, if you have the right demeanor, it saves you a whole lot of trouble. They stopped me and I didn't say nothing to them. I didn't say nothing. They know your attitude. Sometimes it's just our attitude. A person knows when you have a negative attitude, when you're trying to be belligerent. And I'm saying, let's make sure we are not in the wrong. Amen, somebody. Well, Brother, you need to see this video I saw. Or they just shot. I know what you're talking. I've seen much of it. And it's an awful shame. But I don't know my mother, my dad, or whoever it was said. I've had the police stop me a few times. And boy, look here, I learned some. I look here. I'm yes, sir.
Oh, I don't look here. I don't say yes, sir, to nobody.
Well, they didn't take me in. I do. And you know, now in society now, it's unpopular for, we had our students, our teenage students in our program this summer. You know, many of them don't know how to say yes, sir, and no, ma'am. And, you know, and some grown-ups say, you know, oh, they don't, that's slavery, you know. So where you come, you don't even know about slavery. That's just being polite, amen. When in the house we do stuff in the house, I'm saying, but anus, whatever, do say yes, ma'am. No, say, oh, that's just so antiquated. I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm telling you what, yes, sir, and no, ma'am have opened a lot of doors for me. Amen, somebody. Teachers, principals, administrator. Oh yeah, those boys right there. They know how they have. They respect. Oh yeah. And I'm just saying, stop being so, what you so mad about? Yeah. Because if you being evil, you're going to get punished. Therefore, it is necessary, notice, it is necessary to be in subjection. Not only because of wrath, notice this, not only because of the wrath of the officiants or the wrath of God, but for your conscience sake, the Bible says. He said, also for your conscience sake, for because of this, listen to this now, for my eyes playing tricks. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For those of you that don't want to pay your taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due to them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor. That's what the Bible says about us as we associate with those that are in authority, those that are in high places trying to carry out rules, and that's just our attitude when it comes to, and I'm not talking about you know, members of Congress, but they pass laws, and the way we try to advocate change in this society is first of all to do the will of God. Amen. Is to try to convert as many people to God's will as we possibly can. Yes, by all means, vote. It's our right. It is our responsibility to vote. Amen. I believe, listen, I think every Christian, see, what we ought to do is, and I know sometimes it's almost a lesser of two evils, is I went to vote, I think, last Monday. My wife and I last Monday went to vote, and I saw candidates I didn't know who they were. And there were some that I knew who were. And sometimes you vote straight Democrat, sometimes you vote straight Republican, and that's, you know, that for your choice. But I went through there and read every name, every person, made sure I had a check by everybody that I was voting for. And there were some that I didn't know much about. And there were some that I knew some things about. But, you know, I had this in my mind. I want to select the candidate that display, see, to me, everybody has a track record. And I don't necessarily need to hear what you're going to do for me. All I need to do is see what you have already done for somebody. I'm just saying that's the way I do it. Now, I guess you could say I'm probably mostly a Democrat if you're just looking at who I vote for, just voicing out loud. But I don't necessarily vote for a person because they're a Democrat. One person that I vote, I'll just tell you, one person that I voted for, and this is not for you to vote for, is I like Greg Abbott. Now, not just because he's crippled. Some of you know Greg Abbott. Not just because he's in a wheelchair. But I think I've just looked at his track record. What he has done, not everything, Not everything, because I don't know everything. And I just like some of the things that he has accomplished. And that's just the way I do it, you know, because I'm like, some of these people that I don't know, but sometimes it's a lesser of two evils. But our power to vote, if we vote for instance, I believe if you're in here and I know something about you and I know you are a Christian and I know things that you've done in the past and you're running for, I'm like, you know what, that's because there are folks that you already know who've done some crooked stuff. Amen. And the way you get them off is don't vote for them. Let me say this as I bring this to a close. The Fifth Ward Church of Christ, a lot of people come to us, and because we are a fairly large church and they want us to endorse a candidate or they want to make an announcement about a they are running for something, or they want us to do something or to help in a particular cause. Our mission as the church is to preach the gospel to all the world, number one. And we need to be careful how we assimilate, how we get sidetracked into some of society's activities, and we get away from what our main mission is. Amen? But I hope that we always are an educated church to the fact that we know what's going on in the world, because it does affect, the things that go on in the world do affect us. One of our brothers, Brother Ben White, is running for city council next year, And I was talking to Ben, and I know, and some of you know Ben because he was the president of Hester House, and he's the president of the Fifth Ward Community Development. And he has been doing some wonderful things for Fifth Ward for years, over 20 years. And we were talking, and he says, I'm running for city council next year. I said, well, Ben, you make sure you keep doing some of the same things you're doing now if you get elected to city council. And he's a member of this church. I'm not endorsing Ben, but I'm saying I know who he is. I know what he's done in the past. And you investigate the information for yourself. And I say it because we need some good people. We need some individuals who have influence, who are using that influence for the kingdom's sake. Amen. 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 And by the way, especially to our young people, I was so proud. My daughters, they say, yeah, we going to vote, Dad. I said, that's good, baby. Y'all go vote. And it seemed like a lot of young people, because a lot of young people don't vote. You know that? Yeah. And one young man, he said, Brooke, I vote don't really count. You know, it really, you know, when it boiled down to it, if you vote, I said, what are you talking about, son? Do you know that George Bush, in the year 2000, he squeezed by Al Gore in Florida to give him the presidential victory. You know, the margin of victory was 537 votes. The margin of victory is about what we have in here right now. If either those people would have voted or some would have not have voted. Did you know, not also in 1988, the Massachusetts Governor's Council Democratic primary, a gentleman by the name of Herbert Cunley lost to Robert Kennedy by one vote. And you know who's vote? He lost by one vote, and it was his own vote. Because he went to the precinct. He went to the precinct after voting time, and they wouldn't let him vote. And he lost the election in 1988. In 2010, in the House of Representatives, in the 6th Worcester District, Peter Durant was initially declared the winner by one vote. But the judge ruled that one absentee ballot was initially discarded was to be counted for Geraldo Alicia, creating an exact tie. And then 6 months later, they had a special election where Durant finally won. And then some of you, some of our saints that are here, remember this, that in 1960, the closest presidential race was between John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon. And the margin of victory, the margin of victory was less than 1%. And I say it because our votes do make a difference. But that's neither here nor there. Because whether you vote or not, whether I vote or not, God is still in control. And God is going to stay in control. But don't we want God's favor? It does make a difference of who is in office. It makes a difference generally for the land's sake, that the land had rest. When Joshua took over for Moses, and he did all according to what God had told him to do, the Bible says the land had rest. And you know it had rest for over 40 years. See, if wouldn't it be beautiful if you were close to 60 years old now? And it wouldn't it be beautiful if we had rest for the rest of our entire life? Oh, my goodness. You know what I hope? I hope that our country does not go back to war in the next 40 years. I hope that happens. But God is in control. I hope we don't go back to war. I'm hoping that they don't raise taxes. Amen. Amen. But ain't no guarantee that's not going to happen. Amen. I'm hoping that property values will go up for our homes. That will be beautiful. I'm hoping that, you know, there are no other laws that will restrict us from worshiping God in peace. But you know what? God's law supersedes all laws. You know, there's a law right now that we're not supposed to pray in public at school, in the schoolhouse. You know, that's a law. But and some workplaces. But Christians, can we pray to the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says pray without ceasing. If you're not a child of God, you need to be. See, it's where our protection is. If you look all through Old Testament, New, God has always had a remedy. If we follow God's will, God gonna take, that's the key to it all. Whether President Trump or whoever the next president or whoever the next governor, whoever the next senator, whoever is elected to the Supreme Court, oh, my God, they got Kavanaugh in there. Oh, then he gonna vote for him. He gonna vote. God got Kavanaugh. Amen. God is still in control, and God is gonna take care of his children. You're here today and you're not a child of God. You need to be. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized in water, you too can be added to God's family, the one you can read about in your Bible. If you're here and you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If you're here and you want to get something right, do it right now as we stand and sing.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear him.